You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
The night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing
Johnny
in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite.
When it comes to Christmas music, Keith, if it gets any better than that, I'd sure like for you to show me how.
Well, I like the Holly and the Ivy, but with a traditional English church choir. But Johnny Mathis is pretty good.
Do you hear what I hear as we get into the Christmas season everywhere in life, but including a TPC as well? Welcome back to the show, James Edwards and Keith Alexander. And I'm going to turn up my mic a little bit, actually, and see if that helps. Sam, by the way, we're doing a little troubleshooting here. Sam, I just sent you an email. I should have done this during the pre-show checklist, but we have two guests this hour, not one until the next segment. But I just sent you their names and numbers so we can get those. You've got that information there. So, by the way, coming up later this hour, Paul Fromm, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. He's also the director of the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. Now, he's going to be back on the show tonight to tell us some very interesting observations that he made during his very recent trip to Tokyo, Japan. In fact, I was doing a live stream appearance with Bill Johnson and Paul Fromm and Ken Gividen. I think it was just last week. And it was during that interview, he was actually joining us live from Tokyo. And he was telling us some things. I said, Paul, this would make for very interesting conversation on the political cesspool. And so we're having him on tonight. He's coming up later this hour. But first, Keith, we want to talk about prison reform just for the remaining time we have this segment. Now, prison reform basically is if you're a petty criminal, even if you have three convictions, Trump may let you out. And Lindsey Graham was saying how great it would be if Trump would sign off on this prison reform package that would let out all of these three strikes and you're out offenders, the majority of whom are non-white, and the vast majority of those will be voting against the Republicans and Trump.
Regardless of what the Republicans
when they
and
get
Trump
out.
Do.
So this is a thing people don't know. At least maybe it's a misconception. You think if you're a felon, you can't vote again. But in a lot of states, you can. Now, in Mississippi, you can't. In a lot of states, though, and in some states like Maine and Vermont,
Florida
you can vote.
Just, Georgia has just passed a law that says, yeah. Well, the thing is, 90% of them are Democrats, right? And they know that. Ann Coulter hits the nail on the when you hit the nail on the head, you drive it straight. And Ann does that virtually in all of her columns. But she has a particularly timely, impression comment on prison reform and its chief backer within the Trump administration, Jared Kushner. And the name of her article is Jared Kushner, the Bird Brain of Alcatraz. Now, why, pray tell, would Mr. Kushner, who is the son-in-law of Donald Trump and the husband of his favorite daughter, Ivanka, such a advocate for prison reform? Well, Ann did some digging and found out that Jared's father, Charles Kushner, actually served some time in the federal pen for various and sundry misdeeds involving income tax and other things of extortion. Well, I don't know if it's extortion, but it was nonetheless, it was trying to suppress some evidence involving a brother-in-law of his. So she points out some very, I think, salient points. One is that apparently Jared thinks that the baseball card that you have on every criminal, in other words, his rap sheet, really tells what he did. And she said that he doesn't seem to understand that approximately 95% of all crimes, federal and state crimes, are the sentences are the result of plea bargains. If you rape someone, you're liable to be charged with aggravated indecent exposure. If you, similar things like that, pleading down. So consequently, trying to excuse these things as minor crimes doesn't look at the reality behind the plea bargain system, that oftentimes these criminals have committed much more serious crimes than the ones that they're actually pleading to. That's one thing that we need to keep in mind. And the second thing is that these people are not going to be friends of any Republicans. And we have a great tradition of not allowing felons to immediately be restored their civil rights. You can petition the courts, I think, in virtually every state, but you are supposedly showing some type of proof that you've amended your life, not that you just got out of jail because of prison overcrowding or something like that. So, I hate to bring it up again, but, you know, most of the bad instincts that Trump seems to have filtering into his zeitgeist and his outlook seem to come from the same source, Ivanka and Jared. And, you know, if Ivanka and Jared were not just typical New York liberals, it would be so much better for America and for the Trump agenda. Trump loves to come down into red state America and get jollied up by all the support he gets. But who does he hire? He hires friends of Jared and Ivanka, well, and people like that to handle all these high-level positions in his government. And we wonder why, you know, there seems to be a fifth column within the administration that is bound and determined to keep Trump from doing what he says he intends to do when he's on the campaign trail.
Well, Keith, he did get support from Miss Lindsey Graham of the very red state, South Carolina. Lindsey was on board with this prison reform thing. Why is it whenever now it appears that the word reform is attached to something, it's very bad? Immigration reform means let them all in. Prison reform means let out everybody that'll vote for the Democrats and everybody because most of these people they're going to be letting out is non-white.
Well, the Democrats know how to manipulate the masses and to manipulate the English language. That's what's going on.
Why is reform always a bad thing now?
Well, reform is a bad thing because the left sees themselves as reformers, our progressives, and things like this. They are actually, you know, they pretend that they are benefactors, that they have beneficial changes to offer to societal problems. Instead, you need to see them in stark contrast to what they say they are. They're actually malefactors, and they have malicious programs to make society even worse than it is now. What happens, according to Ann Coulter, when you have prison reform and sentencing reform is that you unleash floods of criminals that are basically out of commission and out of circulation when they're in jail and unleash them on the public. And the public that suffers the most is the minority population because that's where these people come from and that's where they go back to. Now, none of that seems to matter to leftists and to liberals. They think that as long as their impulses are generous, it doesn't matter what the reality of their policies are. But I hope that President Trump has enough sense to start tuning out Jared and Ivanka and start listening to some of his real supporters in red state America.
All right, Keith Alexander, everybody, punching the clock for his shift tonight. He's going to take off. We're going to get to the guests, and then Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be in for the third shift. PPC not even halfway done tonight. Still so much more to come. Stay tuned, won't you?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea.
Welcome back, everybody, to TPC. It is Christmas time. It is December, and we're going to let you know at every segment, I think, with these the songs of the season, as it was. Well, I got to tell you something. I returned last week, or was it this week? It was this week for another highly enjoyable appearance on A Comfy Tangent. Now, the hostess of this show on YouTube, Kayla, is a young lady in her mid-20s who's really just getting started, relatively speaking. I was one of her first guests when she started the show earlier this summer and was happy to make an encore appearance just a couple of days ago. This lady is remarkably poised and composed, well-versed in our issues, and possesses the ability to articulate her opinions quite well. And I can remember how difficult it was when I was just getting started out in radio so many years ago, and how appreciative I was when someone would give me an assist. So with that in mind, we had a segment open up tonight, and I wanted to bring her back on. She actually did appear also earlier this year, a few months ago, and we introduced her to you. But now we'd like to reintroduce her to you and encourage you to check out her YouTube channel, follow her on Twitter, and all that good stuff. We'll give you that contact information. But this most recent interview that I did with her was one of the most informal and relaxed that I've ever done. It was a fun change of pace, and we thought, since we are getting into the holiday spirit now, that we'd bring back somebody whose voice might well, it's just very chipper. We want to have a chipper show tonight. She wants to have a comfortable show. We'll be chipper. Kayla, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Hi, James. You're always too kind. How are you?
That's what I'm known for, you know. That's my reputation. If you look me up on Google, that's the first thing you see. He's kind.
James Edwards, too kind, four words. I like that. I'm pretty sure Google only writes nice things about you, right?
That's right. It's amazing. They're so good that to me and to the show and to our movement in general. But no, listen, it's great. well, it's great to have you back. No, they do love us. And what's not to love? But anyway, it is great to have you back tonight. I know we only have you for a quick segment. Oh, yeah, I got to turn Keith down. That's right. I forgot to turn Keith's mic off when he left, and so we had a little echo there. So hopefully that's better. Now, I found out when I appeared with you. And by the way, folks, if you haven't seen it yet, we're going to post it to thepoliticalcesspool.org. I think it's scheduled to post on Tuesday. Now, you can find it on YouTube right now if you'd like. But we're going to post that interview I was just talking about on Tuesday to our own website with a big endorsement and links and all of that stuff. But I found out when I appeared with you, Kayla, this week that this was your first show. You'd taken a couple of weeks off. You had a little mini hiatus. You were off for about a month. And I happen to be your first guest back.
Well, I had just, for whatever reason, personal reason, but good things, I decided to take a month or so off. And, you know, when I was thinking of coming back, I thought, okay, well, I want this to be fun for me. I want this to be enjoyable. I want this to be relaxed. And of course, you came to mind. And we had been in contact, and you accepted the invitation. So, yeah, it was this Thursday, and it was a great welcome back for me. I can at least say that, be selfish for a minute and say that I really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm glad that I fit the bill, and it was great to be your first guest back. And, yeah, we did get comfy. We talked about pajamas. We talked about Thanksgiving food and all. it was a great show. It was a nice departure from the normal stuff. But now another thing I learned very quickly was that, and you shared this on this particular live stream, that you have a dream ticket for the next presidential cycle, or if not the next one, the one after that, the one that Trump can't run again in.
Yeah, no, I do. And I think your audience is really going to like this. All right. So just close your eyes. I want you to imagine this. Unless you're driving, please keep your eyes open.
I tell them that all the time.
Yes, please. We are not responsible. No. Okay. So imagine Steve King running as your presidential candidate and Mr. James Edwards running as your vice presidential candidate. I think that would be a fantastic balance, a very well balanced, a very pro-white ticket. And I don't know, that's just my idea. We'll see what your listeners think. But
it's been floated now. It was officially floated, and you told me you came up with the idea when I was on with J.F. Gareppi on the public space, that this topic sort of somehow similarly came up, and you said, well, this is how it really needs to be.
Yeah, no, I saw you on there, and somehow the idea popped up of you and Richard Spencer possibly running, and I thought, okay, yeah, that's good, but let's go for a little better. And I don't know, I popped that that idea to you, and you didn't seem too opposed, and so I was really happy about that. I thought, well, maybe we can actually make this happen.
I think Steve will take a little more convincing. We will see where it goes. But now that it's been out, it's been put out into the universe now. So all you can do is plant a seed and see if it bears fruit. We'll see where
yes,
it
exactly.
goes. But
plant the seed, positive energy.
We have the Big Cat Kayla endorsement, and that will take us far. I can tell you that. That's definitely gotten us off the launch pad. But that withstanding, we'll see where that goes. King Edwards, either 20, what year is this? I couldn't even remember if I appeared on your show this week or last, and it was just 2 days ago. So let me see what year this is. It might be 2024. King Edwards 2024. That would give me a little more time to prepare, I guess. We'll see. But
I think that sounds good.
Because otherwise we'd have to primary Donald, and, you know, we'll just see.
You don't want to do that. Wall or not, it would be a mess.
Yeah, it would just be a mess. You don't want to circle the wagons and fire upon one another. So we'll take it in 2024. How about that? But, hey, before we run out of time, and I guess we should get serious here. Well, that's not unserious, but I just want – this is the main reason I wanted to bring you back tonight, Kayla, is so here you are in your mid-20s, articulate, intelligent young woman who is out there advocating for our positions all the way to the hilt. How – we may have covered this when you were last on, but tell the audience in just a minute or two how a young woman would come to be immersed in this movement to the extent that you are. And you have interviewed so many of the same people that we have, and you're doing a great job on your YouTube show. Folks, if you like the political cesspool, you're going to love what she has to offer, and she's doing it very well. So how did you reach that conclusion as a woman in your mid-20s? That definitely isn't the the typical demographic, I guess, of somebody out there out front leading pro-white thought?
It seems not to be the normal direction, but it seems to be the natural direction, right? Or at least one would think. For the most part, I started just paying attention to, your constitutional politics, Congress, things like that. And my boyfriend at the time, fiance, whatever you'd like to call him, he actually started getting into these ideas himself, and I was getting into them around the same time. And for the most part, I watched some Jared Taylor, and he was kind of this eye-opener to me because he would discuss race realism. And I thought, well, of course there are racial differences, but little did I know that that was not the politically correct line of thought. And so from there, we just, went down the rabbit hole, so to say, and here I am. I've had the opportunity to speak with wonderful people, people I never thought I'd ever have the chance to, obviously one of them being yourself, and another one being your good pal, Jared Taylor. And I've enjoyed the opportunity to do so, and everyone here has been so nice and welcoming.
Well, I felt like I talked a little bit too much this segment, and I know we only had you for one segment because we had the one segment come open. We've got Paul Fromm waiting. I want to carry you over, Kayla, if we can, just for a minute or two into the next segment, just to follow up on that very quickly and briefly, and to get your contact information, most importantly, and then we'll bring Paul on if we can keep you. And then we'll bring Paul on. We'll try to do it all here. It is live radio after all. Stay tuned. More with Kayla right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. Whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
talking to the people everywhere. Listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. A child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
Thank you, Johnny Mathis. Sort of like TPC here to bring you goodness and light. And I love that song. I love Christmas. I love our guests. And I love you, ladies and gentlemen, out there in our audience. And speaking of our guests tonight, we've got two. One is a new friend, and one is a very old friend, a man who has been appearing on this program since day one, 14 years ago. But before we get to Paul Fromm, and I know Paul Fromm's waiting, I want to wrap it up very quickly with Kayla of the Big Cat Kayla live stream, A Comfy Tangent. And I was just on her show. That's why we brought her back on. And she's just fascinating. Young lady. There is no issue that we tackle here that she shies away from. She does a great job. And I was just asking you, Kayla, how you got into this, and you basically just said there was no truth that made you cringe, and you kept pursuing the truth, and you ended up where you are. But that still doesn't quite explain. Understanding and accepting the truth is one thing, but you took it a step forward, and you started your own YouTube channel where you're interviewing a lot of our contemporaries, and that does set you apart. So tell us how you got there, what led you to take that next step into public activism, and how people can find you, and then we'll go straight to Paul.
Well, just to put it, you know, to kind of wrap things up, I would watch other people's content, right? Because we, even though it is the internet, we're a community. And I would watch the way that our message was delivered, right? The way that it was packaged, and it is put out for people wanting to learn about, you know, what we represent. And the thing that I realized was that there was nothing that was simply a conversation. It was either an interview or a debate. And I thought, well, I mean, why not actually just, you know, I get it, it's a little cheesy, but why not have something that is comfortable to listen to, right? Something that actually makes, you know, shows people that we are human, right? We're not monsters. We're not bigots. We're not hateful. We just have a different set of ideas, and we just need a platform to express those ideas. So I made it, well, you know.
And so we have it now with your channel on YouTube. Kayla, tell us how people can find out more about that and how they can watch it. As I said, folks, I was just her guest on last Thursday, just 2 or 3 days ago, and we're going to put that up at our website on Tuesday, but how can they find you directly?
Well, you can search on YouTube for Big Cat Kayla live streams, or just the show name, A Comfy Tangent, and we'll be the only ones that pop up in your search results. And on Twitter, it's BigCat_Kayla, and that's where you can find me.
And if you follow me on Twitter, as Kayla does, you can just go to the top of our feed, and we have her highlighted and promoted as a guest tonight, and we have her link. You can link directly over to her and follow her there. So, Kayla, as they say in show business, always leave the audience wanting more, and I think with such a brief appearance that you had tonight, we have certainly accomplished that. I wish we had more time, but thank you for coming on, sweetheart, and thank you for all the good work. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Best wishes to you and your family.
Talk again soon. And let's go to Paul Fromm. Paul Fromm. Now, this is a guy. This is an old salt. This is a guy who's been fighting the battle a lot longer than me. The director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. Also the director of the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. As I was saying a moment ago, I was on Bill Johnson's podcast a few days ago with Paul. And Paul was appearing live from Tokyo, Japan. And I thought, my goodness, that's fascinating. But what was even more fascinating was the story he told. So Paul's going to come on now and share with us some interesting observations made during his recent trip to Tokyo. Paul, how are you? And thanks for waiting.
Well, I'm very fine. And I'd like to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, if that's not politically incorrect.
Hey, do they still celebrate Christmas in Canada? That was actually one of the things I was going to ask you about tonight.
Yes, there's been quite a pushback over the last decade or so. A while ago, big companies had managed to purge Christmas from their advertising and their you know, decorations in their stores. They were hailing the holiday season and so on, knowing full well that people are not shopping because of holidays or because of holidays or the season, that they're shopping for the word that dare not be spoken, Christmas. And there's been quite a pushback. A lot of people now insist on giving Christmas cards. I send cards back to politicians. If they ask, wish me a slap happy holiday or whatever, I send this back and say, you know, and I know, the majority of your constituents are Christians. And even many who are not celebrate Christmas for, as a cultural holiday. How dare you cater like a broken down dockside whore to a tiny minority? And I sent it back. I've actually even delivered it back to my member of parliament. It's a small thing, but I see a lot of people are pushing back on Christmas, and some companies and some cities. The city I moved to actually has a Christmas display, and the word Christmas is out there in an attempt to be balanced. Our government the Canadian government put out some stamps for Christmas. Now, one actually specifically mentions Christmas. Two have sort of Christmassy things. Think of ones are a reindeer or a Christmas tree without actually saying Christmas. And the fourth one has a big Hanukkah, or wishes happy Hanukkah, which superficially sees, well, that's fair. Everybody gets a bit of recognition. Well, that's not really fair, because Jews constitute less than 1% of our population. You know, why should they get roughly a quarter of the Christmas stamps? It may sound petty, but we are in a war where we really are an oppressed. We may become a minority. Wilmot Robertson said it beautifully: the dispossessed majority. Yeah, we're being dispossessed largely by. I hope it doesn't sound too dramatic. Traitors in our own ranks. You know, that people making most of these decisions are people who, you know, like you and me.
Well, listen, I say that all the time, Paul. I mean, we can. A lot of people will blame the other races. I always lay blame at our lot, our current lot, at the feet of white men. White men are the ones who have allowed the other to dispossess us, and white men are the ones who could fix this. And certainly, you do have white men out there worthy of support, worthy of a hero's mantle. We've got one right here on the show, Paul Fromm, who has been fighting this fight and doing it very well. So there are white men out there that are putting themselves forward as leaders, and I would count myself among them. But by and large, white men are the reason we are where we are now as a race, and why America and Canada and the Western world is as it is. But so here you are, Paul, as a white Christian heterosexual male from Canada, no less, and you still can't get into the United States. Has there been any update on your status? I know for the last couple of years, they can target you and make sure that Paul Fromm, a good friend of mine, a man that I used to see here in America two or three times a year, every year until the last couple of years. Now, you can't get in, but we can't stop the leak at the border. Why don't you just fly down to Tijuana and walk in like everybody else?
Yeah. If I didn't mind walking in such company, you're quite right. Just go down to Tijuana, stay for a few days and get a good old tan go to a hairdresser and get my salt and pepper hair blackened. And I'd come in as Chico and I'd probably get a welcome. I'd go to some NGO, tell them I'm a little hard up. Could you find me a place for the night?
Wait, so It shows that they can secure the border. They can specifically keep one man out, Paul Fromm. Even when it comes down to an individual, they can make sure, and you've tried to come over a couple of times and have been rejected.
Yes.
And they can make sure that Paul Fromm can't come over, but for the millions of illegals pouring over the sieve of a border we have to the south, hey, anything goes. So it shows that they can secure the border when they want to, and they want to with Paul Fromm.
Yes, it's always been a matter of will. Now, I'm in the process of applying once again for a visa.
Paul is an old hand at radio, too. He heard the music, and he knew instantly to stop talking. Now, that's a savvy guest. We're going to let Paul finish his thought about this, and then we're going to find out about his trip to Tokyo when we come back. What is Paul Fromm's American immigration status? We'll find out in about 3 minutes.
Cesspool, right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets. But talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Neighbors might think
it's bad out there.
So what's in this
no
tray?
Hey, you know, I heard from Sam Bushman that that song, Baby It's Cold Outside, is actually being banned by radio stations now in the age of Me Too because it's a song about a man trying to get a woman to stay the night there at his house because it's too cold for her to go home on her own. And so that doesn't, that has a hair lip, the Me Too movement does. And we're going to talk about that more in the third hour, Me Too. But first, back to Paul Fromm, our good friend, our old friend. Paul Fromm is a dear friend of mine, and I'm happy to know him, happy to work with him. And Paul, very quickly, we got three things we got to cover, and we've only got one more segment to do it in. But I want you to update us fully and completely on your current immigration status. Now, here you are, a law-abiding citizen, never committed a crime, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, good guy. You can't get into the country, though.
That's right. I have actually never been given a direct reason. The reasons I've been given are totally bogus. I was told I had not convinced them that I had ties in Canada. Well, they never asked me, but that's simple enough. I own a home. I work here. I have my family here. I don't know what, and I've never stayed in the United States longer than 11 straight days. So that's bogus. I think, and this happened after Charlotte's, the shooting in by Dylann Roof. I was linked in a Canadian scandal paper, Canada's linked to the organization linked to Dylann Roof. That was the Council of Conservative Citizens. I mean, totally bogus. Yes, I was director of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and we had exactly no connection with Dylann Roof. He was never a member. Never joined, as far as we know, never attended a meeting. He claimed he learned about black crime from the council's website, which is entirely factual.
I remember it all too well.
So, and immediately after that, I ran into trouble. So I think that's it. How we overcome this, I don't know. I do have a good immigration lawyer now in the United States, and I'm hoping my next application will be hopefully properly.
Well, I tell you, it's just such a shame, such an absurdity, because you're such a good guy, and I mean that in all sincerity. And I always enjoyed for years and years getting together with you two or three, four times a year at different events and conferences and speeches, and we've brought you down to Memphis a couple of times. And so, number one, I miss you. I'm glad we still get to talk to you on the radio. But it just goes to show that the United States can close a border. If we operated the Mexican border the same way we do the Canadian border, we'd have a lot less problems. But nevertheless, there are some countries in the world that you can still travel to, Paul, and one of them is Japan. You were just recently, only days ago, in Tokyo, and I want you to tell the audience that's what you're really on for. Tell us about what was going on over there and why, in fact, you were there.
Well, I was there for several reasons, but one of them was to meet the leaders of the Japan First Party. They're running candidates in municipal elections, which will occur, I believe, in May of next year. They asked me to endorse nationwide protests they were having back in October. I did. I sent them an endorsement in English and a few words about national sovereignty and not wanting to be invaded by the Third World. And they're very grateful. And they have problems with Chinese immigration and Korean immigration. They say both have brought a lot of crime into Japan. Now, compared to the deluge coming into Canada and the United States, it's relatively small. But these guys are tough. I was very impressed with them. And they face, in many ways, the same problems we face in North America, a lying, distorting press. And, of course, they're vilified in the press as gangsters and evil people. So I was quite impressed with these people. And I also got a chance to go and visit the home of a man who sponsored speaking tours of Japan by a number of patriots, including Manfred Roeder from Germany, David Icke from England, Michael Collins Piper, our good old friend from the American Free Press. And this man has been dead for a decade, but I went to see where he lived, and he lived in absolute poverty, he devoted every waking hour to research and writing, and he inspired many people. He had access to a network of people who would give financial support to events, but he himself lived in what can be really described as an extremely modest lifestyle. I was most impressed, and I met a number of other people when I was in Japan, and so it was a very, very tense and intense and profitable experience. And I'm going to tell you, as I was told in Japan, if you don't have good legs, you die here. There is an awful lot of walking. So I got the exercise everybody's telling me I ought to be doing. So I've come back feeling great and full of hate.
Well, listen, I'm glad you got some exercise, and I'm glad to know that it's not Canada boxing you in, because they did allow you to leave to go to Japan. It's just America can somehow identify one person and keep them out, but millions of illegal aliens
well,
from the
know,
South.
They
can't.
On that, a lot of patriots are being kept out of Britain, including even young people doing videos like Lauren Southern, Brittany Pettibone. Now, she's not really political, but Martha Stewart, according to Sam Dixon, according to Mark Weber, I've seen the correspondence there. There's a wholesale crackdown on free thought in Britain. It has become a police state, and it just breaks my heart.
Oh, yeah.
It was the basis of our rights, rights elaborated in the American Revolution started in Britain, and it's pathetic.
Well, that's absolutely right. That's where it all started from, and I think I have more friends now banned from the UK than I have friends that are not, so that's there's that. Hey, Paul, we have just a couple of minutes remaining. I want to be sure to work this in, because one of the things that I found fascinating about your trip to Japan, I was always under the impression that it was only the insanely pathologically altruistic Western nations who would hate themselves for putting themselves first or taking their own side. But you actually said that even in Japan, and I did not know this, that even in Japan, the Japanese nationalists are still called racist, and all of the names were called even by other members of Japanese society. And I was surprised to hear that a non-white society would engage in the same form of insanity.
I don't think you're exactly called racist. It's it's suggested that they're gangsters or thugs, and they're not. I want to make that quite clear. These aren't the Japanese skinheads, nor the Yakuza. I was very impressed. But it's the same back door. See, they have an aging society, so people are being told, well, we need people to as caregivers, so we should be letting in Filipinos. But although they're not the only ones coming, the ones in particular I have problems with are the Chinese, who are actually, and I found this revealing and counter to what I believe, are buying up a lot of property there, just as they are in my country. China is really making its moves throughout the Orient.
Well, that's interesting. And with regard to immigration, too, I might add that Paul is not even trying to immigrate to America. He just wants to come here on vacation from time to time. He can't even do that. But the Japanese nationalists are called some variation of the slurs that we are. And I did find that a little bit interesting. But I'm glad to know that they're collaborating with good people. And here we are, folks, as it were. Nationalists working with other nationalists. Here's Paul Fromm working with Japanese nationalists. We do have that common tie that binds. Paul, with only a minute remaining, you were talking a little bit about some of the e-celebs like Lauren Southern. Now, I know another one, Faith Goldie, recently ran for mayor in your stomping ground up there in Toronto. I don't know her. She follows me on Twitter. I haven't spoken with her. I've heard good and not so good things about her. What was your take on that, being someone from that part of the world and in fact, from that very city?
She's a sincere nationalist, and she, running in Toronto, did what I did in Hamilton. She made immigration and putting our people first issue number one, to the absolute consternation of the establishment. She got about 8% of the vote, which for a seriously underfunded campaign was very, very good. She was barred. The incumbent mayor and his major opposition would not appear at any all candidates meeting where she appeared, or my friend Dr. James Sears, because they were denounced as white supremacists. She soldiered on. She had a very aggressive internet campaign. She tried to buy advertising on an all news television channel called CP24, and they turned her down. She couldn't even buy publicity.
Well, you would have voted for her, though. So basically, she was good enough to get Paul Fromm's stamp of approval. And we're out of time. And Paul, I blundered tonight. I had two great guests, but not nearly enough time. We'll talk to you again before Christmas. Love you, brother. Keep up the spirit and keep fighting. And I hope to see you here in the United States soon.
Oh, me too. And all the best to you and your family, James.
Merry Christmas, Paul. We'll be back with the third hour next.